broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at East River 9.
Don't sweat the technique.
It's the Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of the Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I am Branham. It is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Broadcasting live from East River 9. Brian's behind the glass, too, in case you're interested. These Masters are something, huh? This is Masters Day, round one. Lots to get to today, and we'll get to all of it. Astros played yesterday, 6:05. Rockets played yesterday. Although, if you rest all your players, did they really play?
That's a good point.
But the Masters going on right now. That's why we're here at East River 9 and happy to be here. I just got a shrimp po' boy that looks fantastic. It looks awesome.
It does.
It looks great. I can't wait to bite into that. The fries are very good. We got a loaded French fry. That was very good. You had a couple of bites of the quesadilla.
Very tasty.
Which is, you like quesadillas.
I do.
Who doesn't? Who doesn't like quesadillas?
I'm the palate of a 13-year-old.
You didn't take that personal, did you? You didn't, you don't
Me?
Hold grudges,
never.
Do you?
No, I never do those such things.
Justin Rose is the early leader at Augusta. He's through 12 and he's 6 under.
That's pretty good.
That's really good. There are some low scores. The Connors and Scheffler, clubhouse leaders, co-leaders, they're 4 under. Tyrrell Hatton, the guy who looks like my buddy Taylor, he's at 3 under. Rory's 3 under through 9.
He's got
a chance to catch down Rose. My buddy was telling me he didn't make this bet, but apparently there was somebody that was somebody was trying to get him. It was on SiriusXM.
Okay,
he was saying that Justin Rose, clubhouse leader, I think it paid 40-1. He was on it. The host was, but my buddy didn't. He didn't tell it. He didn't tell it. He didn't play the bet.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so he's not going to – well, I mean, who knows if Justin Rose – 80-1, my bad.
Ooh.
80-1. 100 bucks would win, what is that, $8,000?
Yes.
Yeah, he didn't bet that. Can you believe that?
That's a tough one right there. That's one you're going to regret for a while.
Yeah, so Rose the early leader. That's cool. Connor, Scheffler, Forner. But if you're looking for a spot to watch the Masters, this is your spot to do it. They have a bunch of TVs up here, great food, great drink. Maybe you're just in the mood to golf. Well, they have the course here. They have the driving range, a little pickleball, a little ping pong. They got it all. They got it all at East River 9. We're inside the River House if you want to come by, yell at Blankers, and, you know, tell him bad things. But good spot, as always.
This is one of those spots that you just basically say it's a Chamber of Commerce day. And if you get one of these kind of days, this is the place to be. You get the view of the skyline. You get the indoor-outdoor options, everything that you mentioned. This is whether Masters on or not, but it's even better when there's a little extra, you know, golf on with a major. But it's a beautiful spot.
Yeah, I always love coming here. I always love getting a little bit of the food as well. One thing I didn't love was the Astros losing yesterday. Astros fall to the Mariners 7-6 early in the year. 12 games in, you were leading that. Yesterday's game felt important because you're playing a division rival on the road. Was the rubber game of a 3-game series? You feel like, okay, win that game. You have some early bragging rights against a division rival. Astros were up 5-0. That's what makes it even worse. Like, you lose 4-3, whatever. You lose 6-3, you know, whatever. But you're up 5-0. Mariners score 4 in the 8th, 3 in the 9th. Seattle wins. Astros come home losers.
Yeah, it's really a tough one to swallow because, you know, we always talk about, and you and I always say, hey, look, forget the winning streaks as much as if you win series, then you're doing more than enough to be a very competitive team in Major League Baseball. And Brian and I were talking about it as the show progressed that, hey, this is great. I mean, based on the slow start that they had, and you can start to forget about the Giants series because you're going to win another series. You had a 4-2 road trip. You're doing what you need to do, and then all hell broke loose. And when all hell broke loose, it leaves a bad taste in your mouth. And now instead of coming home with that 4-2 road trip going, they're working it out. A lot of the guys are starting to hit the ball. Pitchers look pretty good for the most part. You can fight through some things, that the injury, you know, Arrighetti and otherwise, but it seemed like things were going in the right direction. Now you got a totally different attitude coming home for the Angels tomorrow night going, man, that really sucked.
Yeah. So Astros lose it 3.5 games back now of the Rangers, which I'm paying attention to that. I pay attention to the standings year-round. Why do they keep standings? To pay attention to it. So Astros 3.5 back of the division. Rangers off to a pretty good start at 9-4. Angels off to a pretty good start, too,
8-4.
Angels are in Houston tomorrow for the start of a 3-game series. Where are they in the wild card? I haven't seen where the Astros are in relation to the wild card. 3.5 as well. So 3.5 in both. If the season were to end today, the Astros are out of the playoffs. The bullpen was an issue yesterday. Mm-hmm. You want to start with Abreu or you want to start with Contreras?
Well, to me, Contreras is a guy that should be back in Sugarland. I said this even previous to this appearance, but the fact that he even called his number yesterday was puzzling to me. You had a couple lefties coming up. You had guys in the bullpen, especially a guy that you and I discussed in Brian King that is available, that's been doing his job. Okert's been doing his job well enough that I thought that from that perspective, those were two guys I would have gone to before Contreras. I get it. He's just going to throw some guy out there to maybe save some innings on those guys. But in short order, even if you didn't do it initially, which I still would have done, I didn't like Contreras in that situation. He hasn't been good. He wasn't good again. And I look at it and go, from that perspective, I would question Joe Espada, but also the fact that I just don't think Contreras, as good of a spring training as he had and with the injuries opening up a spot for him, I think in short order he should be heading back to Sugarland.
They traded Montero a day too early.
Yeah. Because he really would have been good there.
I don't think he allows three runs.
I agree with you. And he's got a little extra, you know, red ass going because, you know, the Mariners got rid of him. They were going to DFA him, and he was thrown into that trade when he got to Houston. But, yeah, you're right. Last outing, he ate up two innings for you. He looks like a guy that could have done it again, and then the move was made, and now you can't do it.
I imagine by tomorrow he is sent down. Because, I mean, threw a lot of
Contreras.
Pitches.
Yeah,
Contreras.
Yep.
Now, I don't know how many people they have that they can call up because Caleb Wirt's not ready. Forrest Whitley's not ready. Lance McCullers is not ready. They called up Bennett Souza, however you say his name. He pitched yesterday, got an out, although he didn't look great. Walked two.
Yep.
So, like, the bullpen had been pretty okay before yesterday. And I'm okay trading Montero, obviously. Like, they saved a few million dollars. Like, they saved, like, $3 or $4 million by trading Montero. So now they're $5 million under the CBT, which maybe they can add something by the deadline if they are in the race. So I totally understand trading Montero. But it does put you in a bind. Like, Montero being out, having the injury of Eric Geddy, who broke his thumb by getting hit by a line drive in batting practice. Hader's been used. He was used twice for two innings recently. So Espada really doesn't have a great arsenal right now or a full arsenal, which gets you to Abreu. Like, Abreu blew the game there, no doubt about that. He's been used now three times in 4 days. Like,
yeah.
That's a tall ask, asking him to pitch three times in 4 days.
So this early in the season, too.
Yeah, like I'm not letting Abreu off the hook. I'm not excusing Abreu. But it is a tall ask to have a guy go out there 3 of 4 days in high leverage spots. That's not ideal at all.
No, because the fact that Hader twice gave you two inning appearances meant that there were going to be opportunities for him to be a closer, but that's a different situation for him. It's higher leverage, as it turned out. And you're right. You know, that frequently, that early in the season is not ideal for a guy that you're going to lean on as a high leverage guy. And you know he is your eighth inning guy with chances to also close throughout the year. It's a tough proposition. And when you looked at it, I thought he got squeezed a little bit on a couple of calls. At the same time, do I think that that's the reason why they lost the game? Absolutely not, because I thought that his non-competitive pitches were so non-competitive that you really gave the Mariners the driver's seat from a hitting perspective because he wasn't nibbling on the corners or burying a slider on the outside corner with a two-strike count, 0-2 up on Julio Rodriguez. And you were up early, I believe, on a Rosarena as well. But you had opportunities, but his pitches were so non-competitive in between getting up in the count, you end up with a full count, a non-competitive pitch high in the zone, and you lose the ballgame.
Now, he did get screwed on the Garver at bat.
Oh, no doubt.
That was strike three. And then he got Raleigh to ground out. Like, he should have been out of the inning. Now, he still would have blown the save, but it went to extra innings.
Right.
And the Astros really aren't equipped to go to extra innings with their current state of the pitching staff. So, who knows if they win that game. I would say the math was probably not on their side anyways. But that pitch to Garver, the 3-2 pitch at the knees,
my.
That was a missed call. Like, if they were using the ABS and you still had a challenge, that would have been a challenge, and it would have been overturned because that was there.
Yep.
That was there.
It was – I don't care, you know, what – that was right down the center, right at the lower half of the zone, and I just don't know how he – especially on that in that situation on a 3-2 count where he's got to have that pitch – there's not. I don't know how you don't call that pitch. And that was a bad, bad call, and he got screwed there. The Julio Rodriguez at bat really bothered me because you really dusted him with two fastballs. You got way up in the count. You're up 0-2, and instead of burying a slider on the outside corner, and I understand you maybe have a little bit in the back of your head. You don't want to actually, you know, spike it and have a pass ball, but that ball was so close to the corner that he just threw the barrel head on the outside corner, threw it down the right field line. Now you got a tie game. I think you got a couple pitches to play with there before you go and make a pitch like that.
Yeah. Yeah, not a great outing for Abreu. I don't like to see him pitching three times in 4 days, though. That's not good. Now, Espada doesn't have many options there. Hader was obviously not available. He used three relievers prior to that. Contreras, I imagine, will be sent down before tomorrow's game, though, just because he worked a lot. He has options. He didn't pitch well. Now, the corresponding move, I have no idea. Maybe Nick Hernandez, Houston Cougar, go Cougs, can be that guy. Now, there was some positives, I guess. Cam Smith had his first multi-hit game as a Houston Astro, so maybe he's starting to figure it out a little bit now. He got the batting average up to the Mendoza line. He's hitting 200 now, but good to see him with a multi-hit game for the first time in his career.
Yeah, no, I think that we're starting to see, by being patient, the fact that there's some very good things coming out. The triple was a good sign for him. The fact that he's got a multi-hit game now, I think he's starting to build some confidence because, like I said, against Castillo the other night, the first two at-bats, he looked like he was overmatched. And that's where I started to worry about, how long is he going to be able to kind of persevere and how long are they going to be able to go with him. But now these things seem to turn the tide so that he looks like he's got confidence at the plate. He's putting the barrel on the baseball. He's got unbelievable speed for a guy his size, too, even on that triple, the way he can run the bases. So good positive things there. I mean, there's for me, the fact that Paredes seems to really kind of he's finding his swing. He keeps getting hits game after game, which is very encouraging to me. And Altuve at the top of the lineup continues to do what he always seems to do, which is no matter where you play him defensively, he hits the baseball.
Yeah, he does hit the baseball. The Astros sent down, or the Mariners sent that guy down the pitch yesterday, Luis F. Castillo.
Oh, yeah.
So then now they only have one Luis Castillo.
So they basically F'd Castillo.
I guess.
Yes.
If you want to look at it that way.
Yeah.
It's good for Luis M. Castillo, though, because he can stop going by Luis M. Castillo, now just Luis Castillo. Astros also blew the Hunter Brown start. I mean, Hunter Brown was excellent yesterday. Two hits over six innings, six shutout innings. He was fantastic and nothing to show for it.
Yeah,
nothing to show for it.
That's unfortunate because it looks like you're going to settle right in at the top of your rotation with those two guys. And Fromber coming off of his start now, Hunter Brown coming off his start. Nothing to worry about there, and you feel really good at the top of your rotation. The Arrigetti thing makes things a lot more interesting as we look at all the injuries that seem to have piled up in a short period of time with the pitching staff. So now you've got injuries to worry about in terms of who can replace guys in the pen. Injuries now become a big factor in terms of we know McCullers isn't ready. We know Garcia may never be ready. They've got problems now because they're going to try and stretch out Gusto. Blue ball might be an option, but you're watching the rotation, too, to see what they're going to do there.
All right, 713-780-ESPN. We'll take your thoughts on the Astros game if you have them. 713-780-3776, the HRNP listener line. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're on Twitter at ESPN975. Blankers at Pac-Man Joel. Brian at Sacked by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It is the Killer Bees on ESPN97.5 and ESPN92.5.
Yeah, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at Century Property Tax Consultants. Look, we know tax day is April 15th, but property tax day is May 15th. The deadline is fast approaching, and you need to attack your property taxes like you're going to full court press because you can make some money back. You can save some money. And by the way, that's the only way that Century Property Tax Consultants are going to charge you any money for helping you with your property tax. They do it all. They do everything from residential, commercial, industrial, or business properties, and they're going to fight to reduce your taxes. And when they do, with no savings, no charge to you. If they save you, that's the only time they get paid. How do you go wrong, and why don't you get in contact with them right now? All it takes is simply getting on your computer, CPROtax.com. That's CPROtax.com, and they're going to do the rest. You're not going to have to go to court. You're not going to have to fight it. They're going to do everything for you, and basically, the odds are very much in your favor that you're going to win. And when you win, you're going to be happy because you're going to save thousands on your property taxes, most likely. And that's because of the experts that have 60 combined years of experience, Century Tax Consultants. They're here to help you win big. Check them out today. Go to CPROtax.com. That's CPROtax.com, Century Property Tax Consultants. Don't pay more taxes than you need to.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at East River 9. Here's the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We could just talk Masters leaderboard all day from East River 9.
Good with that.
I could just. You want me to read the whole thing?
Called it,
didn't
he?
How many golfers are there? I doubt it.
He was looking at the profile pictures on PGA.com for some of these players.
Really?
He's trying to look. And it's like, Justin Rose looks like he's so old. They're like, oh, he's 44.
This Nick Dunlap fella shot a 90.
A 90?
Yeah, he shot a 90. He went out at 43, came home at 47.
Ouch. Did you, you see the JJ Sick flex?
Who is this guy? That he went?
That he's going? There. Well, he drops the "I'm going, give me best tips for what to eat, who to follow." And then he goes, "And oh, by the way, I'm playing the course on Monday morning."
No kidding.
Over under is, like he said, is 152. You're playing the course, bro. That's unbelievable.
That is pretty awesome. Yeah, this, I've never heard of this. I've seen the name, but I've never seen
it. I have too.
I actually thought it was a different dude. It's Nick Dunlap, American professional golf. He's actually won two events on tour.
Does he have
went
like
to
a,
Alabama?
A beard?
No, he's like clean cut. I thought it was a different dude.
Okay. Yeah, one of the guys they profiled.
The picture doesn't
the
have a beard, but he might have a beard now. But the picture of him doesn't have a beard. He's won two PGA tours. He's won one European tour, but he's never made a cut in a major. Now, he hasn't played in a lot of them. This is only his sixth major, only his second Masters. And the dude shot a 90.
Wow, that's not good.
It's embarrassing.
And he teed up in the morning?
Huh?
Because the wind picked up in the afternoon. But still, Rory's at the turn at, what, 3-under. So I don't think the wind's bothering anybody. The conditions seem to be ideal for scoring today.
You ever listen to Joe Rogan?
I don't.
He has his producer guy's named Jamie. And he's always like, "Hey, Jamie, find me this, find me that." Kind of like what we do with Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Brian, find us some Chris Vernon. What's going on at the Masters still? Remember that thing?
Oh, I do.
Yeah, I think he has one out. Find me some Chris Vernon, Brian. Yeah, Rose still leads at 6-under. Scheffler and Connors are done at 4-under. Hatton done at 3-under. Rory's now 3-under through 10.
Okay.
Denny McCarthy, Shane Lowry, Hideki Matsuyama, Bryson DeChambeau are all at 2-under.
At least Rory survived number 10 for the first day. Watch out for the cabins on Sunday.
Yeah. So if you're looking for a spot to watch the Masters, this is it. If you're looking for a spot to have delicious food, this is it. If you're looking for a spot to have some cold beer, this is it. If you're looking for a spot to play some golf, practice some golf, play some pickleball or ping pong, this is also it. 713-780-ESPN. Twitchers, XX Ron saying that the pitchers have been pretty good for the Astros, so I'll give this one a pass. It's hard to give this one a pass, though.
Yeah, you know what? There's certain losses that you remember, and they stick with you. I think this is going to be one of them because you got four outs to get and a five-run lead. And as much as the table was set against you, Oker comes in and he does his job on the first two guys he faces, and you got a chance to escape unscathed with the bases jammed in the eighth. And instead, the grand slam just starts it. And then even getting an extra run in the ninth to put their sixth run across wasn't enough. That's a tough loss to take, man.
Yeah, how will they handle Arrighetti's absence? He would be the starter tomorrow. They're bumping up Ronel Blanco because they had the day off. So Blanco's still going to be on his normal rest pitch tomorrow. And then Ryan Gusto is going to pitch on Saturday. So he's going to be in your rotation. For how long, who knows? I can't imagine that'll be a long start either because he's pitching on 3 days rest.
And he hasn't really been stretched out yet.
Not a ton, no.
They wanted him to go down eventually when they got healthier on the staff just so he could stretch out more because the plan was at some time this year to make him kind of one of your possibilities as a starter. But, yeah, he ain't ready for that yet.
It wouldn't shock me if they call up Gordon to be like the guy who can eat some innings this weekend.
Maybe.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there. But then, yeah, Gusto's taking Arrighetti's spot in the starting rotation. So that's what's going on
there.
Think
they just leave Blue Blood down there for now?
Yeah, he's not on the 40.
Okay.
I don't know if Gordon's on the 40. Actually, they had to put Gordon on the 40 to make him ineligible to be drafted in the Rule 5 draft. So Gordon is on the 40.
Okay.
Memory serves. Blue Ball's not. So it makes it easier to call up Gordon than it would Blue Ball. Yeah, Blue Ball's not on the not on the 40. And none of these injured guys are ready yet, right? Like
Ort made his first appearance on Tuesday. And if everything went as planned, I didn't see a box score from Sugarland. But Whitley was supposed to make his first appearance in relief yesterday.
Yeah, I heard he pitched well.
Okay, good.
Yeah, but one rehab assignment, they're not calling him up immediately. You wouldn't think, but, I mean, they are kind of desperate right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I would be shocked if they did, but desperation makes you do crazy things. YouTube Keith, Joe Espada reminds me a lot of Joe Girardi. I won't make fun of the spelling, but overthinks things instead of just letting the guys go out and play baseball. I don't know about the latter part. He kind of reminds me of Girardi a little bit, too. I think he reminds me of Girardi in stature. As a manager, I do think both are kind of meh, so I see the comparison there. But I don't think Espada is, like, overthinking things so much where the guys just aren't going out and playing baseball. If anything, Espada is, like, not a terrific leader, you know?
Yeah, I think, you know, from that perspective – it's one thing to say last year you're watching Joe Espada super, super close and he's got a loaded roster. This year, I don't know how you can really blame the manager and point the finger and start with the manager when you got an offense that isn't hitting. They're really, really bad for the most part, you know, the majority of the lineup. They're not putting up any runs. You got guys in the bullpen that you didn't expect to even be on your team at the start of the of spring training that are trying to eat up innings and do some things to kind of bridge the gap till you get guys back. So before you start getting too hot and heavy on a guy like Joe Espada, I think you got to look at the fact that the players still got to win the game. You got players that are not coming up big right now.
I don't love Espada, though.
You don't?
They kind of mail on him.
I think he's a meh. I think they kept, you know, when they hired him, it was like, well, let's keep the continuity together. He's been a long time, you know, guy in this clubhouse. Everybody's familiar with him. You know, we don't bring in someone that might be a culture shock to some guys. But I think that's what they wanted when they made the move initially.
See, I tried really hard to like him. Like, I wanted to make him the most interesting manager in the world. I was trying to make Fetch happen because he just kind of met to me. Joe Espada, just meh.
I just think from this particular situation, I don't care who's managing this team, I don't think it would have made a difference in their record so far this year.
I would agree. Like, I mean, the start this year is better than the start last year. They're 5-7. Last year they were 12-24. They're playing great baseball compared to where they were a year ago. I agree with that. Like, to me, it's not the manager as to why they're 5-7. And 5-7 is not an atrocious start.
No.
Like, the way you lost yesterday stings and sucks. But, I mean, 5-7 is not this awful start that you can get out of the hole of.
But this is like what the game that they came back and won that they weren't supposed to win in Minnesota when they got down 7-1.
Yeah.
This is the flip side of it. Like, if you leave that series with a win like that, you're feeling a lot better about the team. Now you lose this series when you look like you had it firmly in your grasp. And instead of being 500, already digging out from the Giants series and feeling positive, now you got a whole lot more things to look at, worry about, and complain about.
I feel like you and I are about to play poker heads up like we're on Rounders because we're both sitting in here staring at each other's eyes with our arms folded across our chest, paid that man his money. Which one are you? Are you Damon or was it KGB? Teddy KGB? Right, Brian? It was Teddy KGB?
Yeah, that was John Malkovich's character, Teddy KGB.
Yeah, I didn't know his act, the name of the guy. I'll be John Damon or Matt Damon. You be I said Johnny Damon, the baseball player. I'll be Matt Damon. You be the KGB guy.
Okay.
I win.
He's saying that because he takes your money, Joel, at the end of the
movie. Yeah, I'm sure he did. That's not surprising.
That man.
Malkovich is a hell of a character actor, though.
Great movie. I thought they were making another one. I thought I saw rumors they were making another one.
There was rumor of that, but yeah, nothing's come of it so far.
The Happy Gilmore remake's coming out soon.
Yeah, that's official.
Maybe that's one movie that Sandler does in the last 10 years that actually has some success.
Yeah, I think he's a little overrated. Don't shoot me.
A little overrated? Makes a ton of money, but those movies, boy, boy.
Yeah. XX, I want a spotter to get fired. Fired up with umpires. Okay, I read that wrong. I want a spotter to get fired up with umpires, even if he's wrong. Get the squad fired up. Example, that Yordan interference call the other day. See, I thought he was a little more fired up than people let on. Now, that strike three no call yesterday, I would have been thrown out.
No doubt.
I would have been so gone so fast.
I was driving home listening to it, and I was not happy. And then when I got home, I rewound it and watched it, and I was screaming. I was like, oh, my goodness, that was bad. Like, at that point in the game, to make that call, whoo, baby. And then the umpire report came out today, and everybody, in the obvious, he missed it.
Yeah, I would have been ejected. How many times do you think you'd get thrown out if you were a manager? A year. 162, just a normal run-of-the-mill year. How many times are you getting thrown out?
10.
10?
10 to 15.
Yeah. I think you and I'm probably – I would go 10 for me. Now, you
then
and I –
Then I'm probably 15.
Probably. Yeah. I think you and I would get thrown out in different ways, though. Like, you seem like one to throw the hat.
I'm Aaron Boone. I'm going out
everywhere.
I'm taking the bottom of the bat and drawing the batter's box and imitating the umpire. I'm doing all that.
Building sandcastles on home plate.
Yeah, I'm all
kicking
that.
Dirt everywhere, turning your hat backwards and getting in the face of the umpire. I think it'd be my smart mouth that would get me in trouble. I think that's how I'd be getting thrown out. Like, you wouldn't see me like, ah. But I'd probably say some things that umpires wouldn't like, I think.
Oh, I think, yeah. I think you would backhand them with a little dry humor, and then it probably would resonate for about 5 seconds, and the umpire walking back to them, wait a minute, and then just toss your ass.
If Joel is KGB, then he needs to he's going to need some Oreos. He liked Oreos in that movie.
Oh.
It's my club. I will splashy pot whenever I want. That's such a good movie. I need to go back and watch it.
You think Joel has,
you guys,
that means you have alligator blood in this scenario.
It's hard to hear you, dude.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was making it.
Usually it's the opposite. You can hear him okay?
I can hear him, yeah.
The engineer out here is terrible. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. I don't
he has
think this
no
will be
idea
the last
what he's
day
doing.
I think he had no idea coming in that he had to be doing.
I didn't. I didn't. I had no clue.
That's right.
Do you guys still feel good about downtown Dana Brown?
I don't have a problem with Dana at this point. I think that, you know, we know injuries happen throughout the year. I think he did what he had to do with Kyle Tucker, and it's something that the organization hadn't done before. I like that. I have no problem with the fact that at least he admitted that the outfield right now looked like that it needed something more than Chaz and Jake on a consistent basis, and he gave Cam a shot. DeCenzo made the squad. From a pitching perspective, you can ask the question, should he have tried to go out and get more help, but that would have cost more money. That would have been a problem in terms of the tax.
Yeah.
So I think right now he's done just about all he can do, because for this season, right, going into this season, as much as, you know, we've said, Jim Crane has supported just about everything that this team has tried to do. It seemed like they went really conservative this offseason and were hell-bent on not spending money, and that's where we're at right now.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what happened. I like downtown Dana. I have no problem with downtown Dana. Sleepy Joe, on the other hand, I am pretty meh on him. But I agree with you that the start would not matter, even if, you know, the best manager in the world was managing this team. It's true that ump yesterday was terrible. The relief pitchers blew it again, SMH. How many games have they blown?
Well, they actually won one they shouldn't have.
Yeah, I think this is the only game where they had a
they blow one in the
Giants
series.
I don't remember.
I don't. I don't think you correct me or help us and refresh our memory if they've blown more than this is the one that they really just crapped all over themselves and peed down their leg because
both huh?
Because you had a 5-run lead with 4 outs to go. That the law of averages says if you want to go back to the whole win probability thing, I'm pretty sure it was pretty high.
I don't know why we were seeing Hader pitching more than one inning this early in the season. I would have rather have had him available yesterday than throw 2 innings the night before. Yeah, but they won the night before when he threw 2 innings. So, like, bird in the hand. Like, I see where you're coming from, where you don't want the innings and the workload to stack on Hader, and they just spent the entire offseason saying we want to, you know, we want to avoid using them as much as we used them last year. So, like, I see totally where you're coming from. At the same time, like, you have to win the game that is in front of you.
That's right.
So I don't really have an issue doing that. And I kind of like that Hader throws 2 innings from time to time.
I think it says a lot about him and his commitment based on what he's done previously. We've already been through that in the past, that he's willing to do it. And we just got done talking about how kind of depleted and kind of up in the air a lot of the bullpen is. The most important thing you can do is avoid what happened yesterday. When you get to those high-leverage, end-of-game situations, close the door. Lock it shut, get the W. That's what they did in an extra inning, 1-run ball game the day before. He did his job and more.
Big ups to Cam, 2 hits, no errors in right yesterday. Yeah, he had a good game. What do y'all think it would take for the Astros to get Tyler Soderstrom from the A's? I have no idea. I haven't really looked into him at all. Now, Adam Ottavino is a free agent today.
Oh.
And, like, is he great? No. Is he better than Luis Contreras? Yes. I would be interested in signing Adam Ottavino to a very low-level salary.
Look,
right now.
I think Ottavino is a guy that's had experience with the Mets. He's had success with the Yankees. He's an experienced relief pitcher. I don't think he would cost you much. If you're dealing with less than $5 million right now, he's probably coming at, you know, a mil or two. I think that's definitely something that downtown Dana Brown should explore, because I think they need something right now, because we don't know when Ort and Whitley are going to be back.
Yeah. Yeah, I would I'd be kicking the tires on that. Now, if he's like, I need 5. Okay, never mind. Like, I'm not signing you for $5 million.
How badly do you want to pitch back in the bigs? Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 2 million is the most I would give him. And I'd actually feel uncomfortable with 2. Like, under 2, I'd feel good. 2 million, I'd be like, eh. But you might need to do a move like that, because this bullpen, the low-leverage guys are crap.
And that's the thing. Like, if he was on top of his game, he could command a lot more. But right now, as a free agent with the season already, you know, knee-deep in the first month, if you really want to play big league baseball this year, you take what's out there. And it's kind of like what we said about with Rodgers. He picked the Astros and picked the best spot for him to possibly have opportunity so he could succeed.
Yeah.
Now he's your starting second baseman. If Ottavino looks at the bullpen and goes, what I just said, I don't know when some of these relief pitchers are coming back. I'll get some opportunities to prove myself. That's where I should be.
Like, right now, he might be the 6th inning guy. Like,
exactly.
Maybe even the 7th inning guy. Texter says Joe Mespada. Meh Spada. How do you feel about that nickname for Sleepy Joe?
I like it.
Joe Meh Spada. I like that, too. Can we borrow that texter? That's a pretty good one. I told you earlier about YouTube Keith drawing the comparison between Espada and Girardi.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't going to make fun of him, but he said LOL. I'll take the L on that. He spelled Girardi G-E-R-A-D-I. How big of a foul is that? 1 to 10. How big of a foul is that? Girardi, G-E-R-A-D-I. It's G-I-R-A-D-I.
Isn't it Girardi?
Is Joe Girardi.
Yeah, he forgot the R, the second R.
No, it's Girardi spelled G-I-R-A-D-I. I mean, I guess there's only one error here. He put an E instead of an I, but it does kind of sound like an E.
It does.
But it is G-I-R. That's not that big of a foul. Now that I think about it,
Girardi comes off as two R's.
No, I think there's only one.
Well, I'm saying, but it comes off sounding like there should be two.
Yeah, YouTube, Keith, I don't think that's that big of a loss. I'm going to say that's like a 3-4. Like, that's not that big of a mistake, YouTube, Keith. Don't beat yourself up, okay? It's only a 3-4. 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees broadcasting live from East River 9. Your spot to watch the Masters. Half-price wings with a bucket of beer, by the way. And, like, you like beer, right? Beer's great.
Two R's.
With Girardi?
Yeah.
I don't think so, dude.
G-I-R-A-R-D-I. I'm reading it
right
now.
Oh, I thought you meant back-to-back.
No. I'm saying there's two R's. I think Keith forgot the second R.
Yeah. I thought you meant G-I-R-R. I was like, no, man.
So that's more of that's more egregious if you missed the second R.
Yeah, that's a good point. Let's boost it up to a 4-4. 4-4, YouTube, Keith. It's a bigger error than we let on. All right, 713-780-3776. Rockets yesterday. We don't care that the Rockets lost, right? Is there some positives from that loss yesterday? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Justin Rose, 6-under through 14. Two-shot lead on the clubhouse leaders, Connors and Scheffler. Rory at 3-under through 11. Justin Rose, first-half leader. Not looking bad. We're broadcasting live East River 9 in Edo. We're inside the River House, hanging out, enjoying our time here. Good food, good drink, watching the Masters. Some folks are outside watching or playing some golf in the sun. It's a beautiful day.
It really is.
On the range, pickleball, that sort of stuff. It's fantastic. Great time. Get on out here. They're going to be serving half-price wings with a bucket of beer. Whenever you purchase a bucket of beer throughout the Masters. And then also, a great opportunity for a corporate membership, right? 12 rounds of golf, 24 rounds of golf, 36 rounds of golf. They have unlimited golf rounds, whatever the case may be. You can also throw in some pickleball court rentals. So this is the spot if you're looking for a corporate membership. Make sure you ask East River 9 about that. It's a great spot, great time, and it's good for your business, your company, all of that. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Texter says a dude on socials mad at Jim Crane for not listening to, then firing James Click as the downfall of this dynastic run. Beast thoughts. Like, I don't think we should be jumping to conclusions after 12 games, but I never liked the James Click firing.
I think he got screwed. I think when you construct a team that got to a World Series and won a World Series, the last thing you needed to be done is lowballed until you got shown the door because you weren't on the same page communication-wise or personality-wise with the owner. You did your job, and you did it very well. And I think that he did get screwed. But at the same time, I don't think Dana Brown should be wearing one right now for this team in the start of the season.
No, but could Click? I mean, Crane, for firing Click?
Yeah, I think it's something that I don't know that he's ever going to escape from. And a lot will be dependent upon what Dana Brown does and what this team is capable of doing. But I think that from the standpoint of an indelible mark on the Jim Crane ownership career resume, that was a bad look, and it was bad. It was poorly handled, and you kind of predicted it that he was going to lowball him so that he would say no, and then just agree to disagree and part ways. Yeah, it's a bad look on Crane.
Yeah, I don't. I think the Astros would be better off with Click than without Click during that time. I do think it was a bad move. Now, is it like the reason that the dynasty's over? Well, that's up to for debate for both of those conversations. So I don't know about that. 713-780-ESPN HRMP listener line. You know, I think Joe's taking advantage of our friendship.
Joe George?
Yeah, I think he's taking advantage of our friendship.
I didn't know he left.
I think he's taking advantage of our friendship in two different ways. One, he's never paid up our bets.
True.
So, like, would you do that to, I guess you would do that to somebody you don't know. But I feel like he's more comfortable because we're friends with him to not pay up our bets. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, hey, yeah, you guys are going to go ahead and go, y'all engineer this bad boy. He didn't even tell us.
Well, he also was sitting
didn't
here.
Tell us.
And we were having conversation at the table before you got here, and he was finishing lunch, and we were all talking. And before you know it, I thought he had to take a phone call.
He's gone?
Gone for good.
Did he tell you that we were engineering?
No.
Why not?
I don't know.
That's something that I feel like that would be a pertinent piece of information.
Brian seems to think that there was an electronic message sent that we weren't included on.
Okay. Well, I texted Joe. I said, Joe, am I engineering? He said, yeah, sorry. I thought I was going to see you but had to leave. But he told you. Or he saw you.
I saw him while he was eating.
So you would think, hey, I'm not going to see Branham. Let me relay the message through Blankers, right?
Fair point, yeah.
I think we're being taken advantage of.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Would he ask John and Lance to engineer?
No.
Not that we're John and Lance. We're not Hall of Famers. We're like Hall of Mediocrity. But he wouldn't ask the morning show to engineer.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah. What's up with that? All right, 713-780-ESP. We're going to step aside a moment. We come back. Rockets, Clippers yesterday. Big deal, little deal, no deal that they lost the game. And how about the performances of a couple of young Rockets? Killer Bees live from East River 9 on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Yeah, East River 9. You guys are all looking for something to write off, right? You business owners out there, get a corporate membership at East River 9. Visit them online, eastriver9.com. Call up the pro shop. See what it's like for a corporate membership. You get 12 rounds of golf, 24 rounds, 36 rounds, unlimited rounds. They have different tiers. You can throw in a little pickleball edition. They got plenty of options. Just call them up, see what you can do. Now, if you just want to come up here and watch the Masters, good for you. Good on you. You get on up here, do that. Half-price wings with the purchase of a bucket of beer. Good spot to play some golf, practice some golf, pickleball, all of that. East River 9, the perfect spot. YouTube Keith, he said morning show didn't even get on the air till 7:30 a.m. Mm-hmm. What is public on there and what is not? I
don't know if they announced. They didn't throw anybody under the bus. They just basically said that technical difficulties and such prevented them from getting on the air on time.
I don't mind throwing people under the bus. What do we know already? Brian, do you know what we know already
on
the situation?
I do, but I don't want to be the one that throws what happened under the bus.
No, I'm saying publicly.
Oh, publicly, I don't know what is known. I heard the open to the show at 7:30, and it was what Joel said. It was, you know, kind of, hey, you know, things happen, technical difficulties, and they didn't throw anyone under the bus publicly.
All right. I always bite my tongue, I guess.
Like the choice is yours, sir.
I'm going to bite my tongue. Rockets, Clippers. Rockets, 52 wins. Lost yesterday to L.A., though, 134-17. Now, a lot of the Rocket regulars did not play. Fred VanVleet did not play. I mean, every starter but Jalen Green did not play, and Green only played the first half. And I think it was to continue his consecutive start streak.
He wants to be only the ninth Rocket in the history of the franchise to start all 82 games.
It's interesting, though, because he's trading that for his season averages. Because, I mean, he averaged 5 points yesterday, so his season averages are going to dip a bit.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And, you know, and everybody's so hypercritical of everything that he does or doesn't do that, yeah, at the end of the year, I know it's only 3 games, but it will take a toll to some degree on his final totals. And, he's going to play less and less. I wouldn't even expect him to play 15 minutes the next two games because of the fact that they mean absolutely nothing.
Yeah. Now it does like break the question though, like what is the right amount of rest? What's the right amount of trying to avoid rust? He may alluded to that. He's like, yeah, I think we'll still play a little bit in one of the games. He didn't say which one of the games that he expects everybody to play. But I don't think you can just sit the starters for the final two games. Like I do think that you need one more dress rehearsal.
Here's where, and I don't know that I agree with that simply because of the fact that you've got guys that have been banged up. Fred had two different issues with the ankle. Fred has been pretty significantly banged up the last quarter of the season. Fred needs the rest right now. I mean, you can run the full court scrimmages. You can get him ramped up before the first round playoff series. But he's coming, his injury. Amen, because he tweaked the ankle again after he had ankle problems. Same thing. I'm not pushing him to get more run in. We can run a hard scrimmage before we start, a playoff series to where he needs the rest. I think Jabari's fine, and Jabari probably needs more run, and I'm fine with playing him. I just think specifically with guys that had significant injuries in the second half of the season and this late in the season, like those two guys, I'm not rushing them back.
So you wouldn't play them either one?
No, I wouldn't. Unless, if they come to me and they say, no, I really, really feel good, that's fine. But I'm also now you're kind of watching them anyway because the last thing you need to do is throw them out there in a meaningless game and they get hurt. So if they tell me that they're, because their injuries are all healed now and they feel like they're as close to 100% as they can be, then maybe I do a first half, first quarter, throw the starters out there a little bit for continuity. But other than that, because of the fact that they've been nursing them for like the last month and a half, I'm not doing that.
Here's what I would do. They play the Lakers tomorrow. Don't play anybody. Like, Jalen wants to go out there and do the Cal Ripken, play the first two innings. Okay, cool. I don't care about it, but if he cares about it, okay, go out there, get your start, and then you can check out at the first dead ball. Mm-hmm. I would play my starters in the first half against Denver. Not all 24 minutes, but I would play them like normal rotational minutes in the first half against Denver. Then I'm benching them all at the half and then going into the playoffs. But I do want to see them on the floor again together. Like, I don't want them to go, because the last time they would have played together is April 6th. So that would be, what, 2 weeks before the playoffs start where they're on the floor at the same time? That's a long time.
Yeah, but, you know, with the way that they run practices these days, and they've got guys that, you know, they're two-way players and everything that are there now, especially come playoff time, where you can put a competitive team up against them, put the starters on the practice floor, and let them run, you know, and get that continuity back. I would play it on the safe side because with the guys especially that have been injured.
What did you – I mean, you don't care that the Rockets lost yesterday, do you?
I really don't. No, I mean, look, it's like, you know, you kind of touched on it. If the tree falls in the forest, I don't think – and no one's there to see it, did it even fall? I mean, I don't think a lot of people even knew they were playing last night. And from the standpoint of when you saw who the starting lineup was going to be and what guys they're going to play out there, good on getting the young guys some run, get them in case you might need somebody. At least they get run and they get competitive run against a team that needs the win so that they can get ramped up in case, like I said, you do need a backup. But other than that, I really could care less about the outcome.
Couldn't care less.
That too, fine.
I couldn't care less about the outcome either. Now, I love what I saw from Reed Sheppard.
Oh, big time.
Like,
the Kawhi three in the corner.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I hate to burst your bubble again. Israel?
That bum.
Yeah, that bum. That bum shot really well from the floor, shot really well from three. And believe me, there's a whole hell of a lot left in the tank and with the next couple of years ahead with his ability to shoot the basketball. I'm fine with Reed Sheppard. I was really pleased with the way he played.
Yeah, Israel, if you're listening, call us up and let us know what you thought of Reed Sheppard last night. 713-780-3776. I mean, 20 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 7 of 14 from the floor, 6 of 10 from 3 as I'm box score analyst here. Like, he looks good.
60% from 3, 50 from the field.
Yeah.
That's all you can ask for from a kid like that in his first year, and he's younger. I'm fine with all of that. Look, I'm glad Cam got some run. I think that you see more and more as Cam gets these opportunities what the real deal is. I mean, Harden fouled him. They didn't call the foul.
Yeah.
He went nuts. He completely checked out. He was way too overly emotional, and that's what you're dealing with Cam Whitmore. It's not about the basketball abilities. It's about the mentality and the maturity, and that's a shame.
Yeah, I thought he played pretty well, Cam. Now, I agree with everything you said about being undercut and didn't get the call and losing his mind and, you know, all of that aspect of it. The Rockets were playing a real NBA team yesterday. Like, that's a playoff team that has something to play for because they're trying to avoid the play-in. Kawhi Leonard played 38 minutes. James Harden played 37 minutes. Like, the Clippers were playing their normal rotation. The Rockets don't have anything to play for, but the Clippers have everything to play for.
Right.
So the Clippers were out there trying hard to win that game with their full arsenal of people, their full complement of people. And Reed Sheppard went nuts against them. Like, that was – and the Clippers are a pretty good defensive team. So, like, that was encouraging from Reed Sheppard. Like, that gives me promise – about him going into year two.
Yes,
as a real rotational guy.
I was not one of those guys that ever felt like I was worried about Reed Sheppard playing in the NBA and being a significant factor and ended up being somebody. I think he's going to do all those things. But I think that this is a refresher course for people that forget because they haven't seen him a whole lot, that he does have a whole hell of a lot of ability. And to the things you said, I mean, the play that we're alluding to, that if you didn't see it, you can probably find it somewhere online. But, you know, you've got one of the better defenders in the league. And believe me, Kawhi Leonard, I know he's missed a ton of time over the last several years. Kawhi Leonard is really ramping it up right now, and he's playing at a very, very high level. He's always been a really good defender. He's got long arms and a long reach, and Reed dropped a three right in his grill as he was contesting it. And you're like, okay, these aren't just, you know, bunnies wide open, you know, shoot-around shots. These are contested shots by good NBA defenders. You're knocking them down. That's why you should be excited that no matter what he does or doesn't do for you, and I don't expect much this year, going forward, I expect he's going to be a part of what's going on in the rotation.
Yeah, that was encouraging. What do y'all think of that foul by James Harden? It's Will Kunkel. That's the world-famous Will Kunkel. Look at that. What are you doing out here, Will Kunkel? Will Kunkel's going to golf, and he's going to do some other stuff.
Yeah.
Will Kunkel.
Other stuff is always good.
Are you a golfer, Will? What do you shoot out there? What's your handicap, Will Kunkel?
Your swing?
Yeah, everything. There you go. Okay.
There you go.
All right. Look at that. You come to East River 9, you see a celebrity. You see a celebrity.
Can't beat it.
The one
gotta
and
come out
only,
here more often.
The one and only Will Kunkel.
He had, like, LIV golf attire. The hat matched the shirt. I don't know if they got team things going on here today with some kind of an outing, but he was dressed for the occasion.
Will was dressed like he likes to party.
I mean, he knows how to golf. Dressed like a golfer.
I think he goes a little harder than Mark Berman.
Oh, that's a no-brainer.
The partying scene. Now, not the working scene.
No one worked harder than Berman.
Yeah, but the Berman, swag.
Yeah, Berman just goes out. He's another big animal lover. He just goes out
the swag.
To the house with the kids and the animals and hangs out.
What do y'all think of that foul by Harden or the non-call? I thought it was tough to tell from the sideline camera. Like, the sideline camera, I had trouble seeing contact. But the baseline camera, it's very clear.
Oh, it is.
Very clear.
He got him lower leg, foot, and it's dangerous. That's the other reason why, as an official, I think you border on the side of caution and you realize that he's not just going to – he might try to embellish to draw a foul. But when you take the kind of fall that he took, and he did hit the floor hard as well, that I just think that it was I won't say super clear, but it looked pretty clear to me that he was fouled.
Yeah, I think it was pretty obvious that he got clipped there. Shepherd can't even buy a beer yet. Is that true? Is he not 21?
I think he's 21. I thought he was 21. But that's even more to be encouraged about if he's not yet 21.
No, he's not. He turns 21 June 24th.
There you go.
But he's under the con. Like, I feel like we do the ages too much. Like, I understand that they like young players because they can develop and grow and stuff, but they're still under a 4-year contract. Like, you need the best 4 years of a guy.
You do. And obviously these guys are coming out like a Cooper Flag in this year's draft. You're coming out because you're trying to take full of any you know, reclassified so that he can catch as much cash as he can while he continues to develop. And that's the kind of the bad side of getting a young guy added to your team, because there's going to be a concern with certain players that want to play in certain markets when their contract's up that you could run the risk of losing while you spent all the time and effort to develop them.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the state of the Players Association and the way things are going in the NBA.
Do you think that players in the NBA that are younger than 21 drink?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I feel like the FBI can do like a little bust on these pros that are buying young guys' beers.
I think it's funny because in the past, when these teams do these getaway mini camps before training camps and things like that, they go to places, destinations with bars and things.
Yeah.
They don't tell the young kids to stay home. The whole team is in the club, and I'm sure they're having some beverages.
Do you think they get into the club?
Yeah.
They get by the guy, the bouncer, the guy checking IDs?
Simply put, if the team shows up, even not all as a team, but if they show up in like 3 or 4 guys at a time, there is no doubt that no one's checking an ID.
713-780-ESPN.
Unless you look like Reed Sheppard.
What about the
plants? Then you better keep the mustache. Sam wants him to keep the mustache. But you better have him keep the mustache if he wants to get in without getting carded.
Maybe that's why he grew the mustache.
Maybe.
He was getting a little bit of the NBA lifestyle, and he couldn't without the mustache. They drink on the planes, right? Players?
It depends on the team. It depends on the team and the coach.
Okay, so a team that has – let's say a team that does it, not IDing any team here, just a random team in the NBA that lets their players drink on the plane.
Yeah.
Are the players under 21 drinking on the plane?
Yep.
Well, let's go rat them out.
I mean,
Rockets have in the first round here?
You still, all these guys frequent gentlemen's clubs. The gentlemen's clubs are still 21 and over, and they're walking right into those, too.
G says, let's not snitch. Let's see who the Rockets play in the first round, and then I'll tell you if I'm going to snitch or not. Rockets are getting the Grizzlies in the first round. What's John Morant doing with those young dudes?
Let me tell you a story. And again, I'm not gonna rat out anybody by name. But the old school Rockets days, we had at least one guy, if not two guys, that their mission was to make friends with everyone across the league, and every time they came into Houston, find out if they needed to be set up somewhere to go hang out on the night before a game, then find out where they're at and buy them a lot of alcohol to consume before the game to try and use it against them when they actually have to play the game. There was no doubt gamesmanship like that going on back in those days.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN, HR&P listener line. Who do you want to see, not see in the first round of the playoffs from a Rockets perspective? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees live from East River 9 on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.